Hey everybody, welcome to the Easy Tarot Lessons podcast, where we teach you the easiest ways to learn the tarot ever. I'm your host, Dusty White, the author of Easy Tarot Lessons, the book on Amazon, and the forthcoming book, Advanced Tarot Secrets. I have a few of my private students with me today, Becky and Stacia and Diane. Hey guys, how are you doing today?
Good. Hi, Dusty.
Let's get started, and I want everybody to please take notes, because we're going to talk about focus this week and why it's important in divination and how to use it with your tarot cards. First and foremost, just a quick primer. Divination itself is a process of altering your focus from what's directly in front of you. I can see, touch, taste, smell, hear it, into the ether. So you're altering your focus from what's right in front of you out into the universe. The mental image that most of us use to teach this is the idea of stretching your senses out. George Lucas did this in Star Wars, at least the first couple of them, where he had either Obi-Wan or Yoda tell Luke to stretch out and feel things around him. Stretch your feelings out. Now, all praise to George Lucas, but this is a good general exercise, but it's nothing more than baby steps to do the real work. So it's not like, you know, George was teaching us ancient secrets or anything. Once you can stretch your senses out and you feel the energy around you, it's time to focus on one object. Now, the easiest ones to focus on are something like a flower or a tree or a stream, maybe your cat. I want you to pick anything that radiates a lot of energy. If you can do that, then you can move on to harder things like a cavern. If you happen to be in a cavern, I went to the Carlsbad Caverns and, it was hard. I had to sit there for about 15 minutes, unmolested by everybody. Like, go away, go away. My friends were like, what are you doing? Are you angry? No, no, no. I'm just trying to sit here and focus. But you can kind of feel the cavern. But I wanted to see if I could communicate directly with the cavern. What the hell? Give it a try. And it took me about 15 minutes, which you're trying to focus is an eternity. And I had to just stretch my awareness and look around the cavern and experience the cavern and understand that time to the cavern passes infinitely slowly. We're just little squirrels and ants to it, just buzz, buzz, buzz. And after a time, I started to get this awareness. It was just very, very deep awareness, like a bass note, like a whale note, really, really low, almost a hum. And it felt very sad. Now, it feeling very sad is not saying that the cavern was sad, but it might have been how my subconscious mind tried to associate it with something that I'm familiar with and flavor it. Becky, did that make any sense? I'm just making sure I'm not rambling.
Totally, totally. I was in caves today, actually, so I can identify with that.
Oh my God, what were you doing in a cave? I mean, it's serendipitous, but still.
I went to visit some caves.
You don't live in a cave, do you?
I don't live in a cave, but I went to visit some caves.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, because I know you're over in Britain. I don't know what you guys do over there for fun, but as long as you don't.
No, no.
Knees bent, running about, sleeve niggets. I'm sorry, it's damn Monty Python. I cannot get away from it. But the point is that caves are really good if you have a lot of patience. If you don't happen to be in a cave in a moment, a large rock is a good thing. Just expect the rock to sit there and not say or do anything. This is why flowers and cats are a lot easier to, just kind of try to enter their awareness. Just stretch out. But in so doing, it sounds easy, but what you're really doing is you're shutting out the rest of the world And it's like a radio station. Now, I'm old, so we used to have this thing called a radio dial. You actually had to turn the damn knob. And the number, you know, the little dial or the little marker would go from like 7 to 8 to 9 or whatever. But we get static in between signals. So there might be like 12 stations on the dial that came in, if I was lucky, you know, in the area I'm at. Now, if all of those 12 stations came in at once, if I was just doing the Yoda thing, stretch your senses out, feel everything around you, I would be bombarded with the trees and the rocks and the stream and the people around me. And as a matter of fact, if you really want to have some fun, I'm totally going off the topic here, but go to the mall or the stock market, or I mean, if you're in New York, I suppose, or Hong Kong has a stock market, any place with a stock market, I suppose. Go to any political floor, go to a rally, a mob scene, a concert. Stretch your senses out there and you will know what it's like to be slammed with a wall of just anger and energy and noise, just mental noise. So that's what it's like when I say that if all the radio stations came in at once, you know, on your radio, it'd just be like, blah, 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 blah. You couldn't make sense of it. So if we want a nice clear signal, we focus on that one station. In that same sense, just a simple act of like focusing on our cat or hamster or flower or whatever you happen to have, rainbows and bunnies and unicorns, oh my, you are in essence shutting out everything else without having to really think about it. So tarot cards are relatively easy by comparison, and this is how we work with the tarot cards. When we sit down, we don't usually consciously think, okay, I'm shutting out everything. I mean, in a worst-case scenario, if it's a very loud environment, we might have to tell ourselves that. But generally speaking, just the act of shuffling, listening to our client, talking to our client, we are engaged with them. And this is an important skill if you're ever going to read at a psychic fair or in public, and especially if you read at a party. You go to the party and you take your tarot cards and be like, oh, you read the tarot, read my cards. Well, now you got everybody else wants to have fun. They don't want to stop and be quiet so that you can have peace and quiet. Same thing in a coffee house. And you don't want to obviously shut everybody out. Like, get out of here, get out of my space. We have to find in obvious or unobvious ways to limit our focus to the person or event in front of us that we're reading on, and our cards. So that's the sense of, tuning out every station on the radio dial except for one. And this is where focusing on a rock or a flower or bird, birds are a little chitty, so it's chitty chatty. So they're probably not the best ones to start with, and dogs are pretty frisky and hyper. But pick something and just try focusing on it. Animate objects, things that are alive, are usually easier than, let's say, trying to psychometrize. I wonder if that's a word. A typewriter. You know, I'm taking the idea of psychometry and saying, I'm going to feel this typewriter. Where is this typewriter coming from? That's really advanced work. But this, what we're talking about right now, will take you to that point. So we do it with the tarot cards. Now, this is not only important for building your skill with focus, but at the same time, focus is absolute if you're ever going to give a halfway decent reading. And I don't say this from theory. I'm not Johnny off the block. I've been reading tarot cards for 3 decades now. Oh, God, I hate to say this, but soon it's going to be 4. I'm old. Okay, well, be that as it may, I've read for tens of thousands of clients, and I know that there's people who've read more than me, but I got burned out for a long time. I just tired of hearing blah, 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 because, you know, and never be afraid to take a break, or at least never be afraid to take a break from massive readings. You know, like anything else, you can do it too much, and you can just drive yourself nuts. I don't want to hear anybody else's problems. It's always the same thing. But over this time, and having had the extreme honor and privilege of working on a day-to-day basis in the same office, day after day for several years, with hundreds of the top psychics in the world, I got to pick their brain too. The point is that with very few exceptions, most of us don't like unfocused general readings. Now, my personal, just speaking for me, because the other psychics aren't here to say, but again, I've read for clients in person, over phone, email, chat. The ones that I've found at the end of the reading, when I feel like, hey, I'm feeling pretty good, I nailed that. You know, I'm feeling really good. My client is, thank you, and they give me this, you know, huge, hellacious tip. Those are the ones where my client kind of had an idea of where they wanted to go. Why is my boyfriend doing this? Tell me about my husband. Should I take this particular job? I did one archaeological expedition where we were looking for some scrolls that I won't give a lot of details out, but it was in the Middle East. And my client knew exactly what they wanted to know. And it was so focused, I was able to just literally absorb their energy and you know, feed that into the cards. And then, of course, I had to maintain my own focus and not just absorb what they wanted to know or what they were saying. But I could tap in off of all of that extreme clarity and say, this is what we're asking about. When you get people who say, just tell me anything. Well, that's when you tend to get vague and general answers that can apply to everybody. And I just absolutely hate that. Now, I'm bringing this up because the problem is, bridging the gap between the ethereal and the mundane, the daily practical matters of life, it's so seldom addressed in a simple how-to formula or format. You know, here, do this. There's a lot of general talk about it. There's a lot of people who take credit, and, you know, good for them for knowing about this. But if you know about it, then put your cojones on the table, you know, by cojones, I mean reputation. You get up there and you say, okay, I know how to do this. You do A, B, C, D, and E in that order. And you do this much of this and this much of that, you know, kind of like a recipe. We don't just throw eggs and milk and flour in a bowl and go, looks like a cake to me. You know, we got to measure things out. So that's why I'm giving these free lessons is I want people to become better readers. Even if you don't buy my book, even if you don't spend any money, even if you don't ever go to a class, at least listen, learn, and become better. So if you have to read for someone and it's general, then expect general answers and always verify with your client. You know, does this sound right? Is this all on the right path? You can just give them a blind reading and say blah, 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 all you want. And just throw up your hands in the air and say, I take, you know, that's it. That's what I see. And then you can apply it to yourself. And sometimes that works very well, but unless you really are especially in the zone that day or feel a really strong connection with your client, you usually need a little something to connect to. I don't like fumbling around in the dark feeling for answers. I want to have an idea of where I'm going, even if it's dark and the lights are off and I'm wearing a blindfold and I can't see anything and it's bumpy terrain. At least I know what I'm after. And that works in physical life and it works esoterically as well. So that's why this is so important. Now, how do we get there? If you have the book, and hopefully you do, the easiest way to learn a tarot ever, there are games and exercises in there that teach you specifically how to build your focus. Some of this is extra information, because what I'm doing is I'm teaching you how to use the cards, how the cards blend together, which cards fight, which cards are friends and enemies. This is some of the stuff that you'll see in Advanced Tarot Secrets, not next month, but month and a half from now. Mid-August, the book comes out. So the point is that all of these exercises are designed to help you build your focus, even though the majority of the exercise is focused on something or, you know, something different. So So it's the underlying thing is the exercise. So in other words, it didn't cost any money. You can just sit at home and do this. And then I strongly recommend Study Buddies. If you have my book, you know, let me know and we'll get together with the Study Buddy. You can get one in the forums. Couple things real quick. As I did mention, the Advanced Tarot Secrets book is officially coming out in August. It's been forever. I apologize for the delays. It was supposed to be out last year, but I allowed life to get in the way. But I promise you, it will be more than worth it. It was a unique book on how to read like the pros. Becky, didn't you get a chance to take a look at it?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of excerpts from it. Yeah,
I gave you like some proofreading you have to be fair. What did you like or not like about it so far, other than obviously all the typos and bad grammar?
Okay, ignoring the typos and the bad grammar, you sent me some bits on the pre-spread work without going into specifics. But what I liked is I can see how it's almost going to take a reading to the next level, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, the whole point of Advanced Tarot Secrets is we're doing the same thing that we do in Easy Tarot Lessons, in Easy Tarot Lessons and in The Easiest Way to Learn a Tarot Ever. We're just using the same cards, but we are peeling back layers and layers of meaning, and we're talking about hidden spreads, patterns in the spreads, themes, you know, all from the idea is that I want you to be able to get 3 to 5 times more information out of the same 10 cards, assuming you're using like a Celtic cross, than any other reader. I want you to be able to both give a reading, boom, and you know, you go in one room and they go in another and you read on this and they write out, you know, 2-3 pages of information. That's good. And you come back with a 50-page report because you've got blah, 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 blah. And it's like, how did you possibly unearth all of this information just from, you know, again, assuming you're using 10 cards? If you're only using like 3-card readings, you're really shooting yourself in the foot because there's only so much information you can pull out of a 3-card reading. They're fun, they're short, they're great at parties. But if you're serious about doing a real reading for yourself, for other people, for a client, for your boyfriend, do one of the larger spreads. I don't care for which one. I generally keep referring back to the Celtic Cross or the Roundabout because they're good 10 to 12 card spreads. They give you a ton of information. And those two spreads, when you work them together, you can do almost anything with them, including manifestation. Oh, that's one of the big things in the new book is we're going to go into 3 different types of manifestation, like literally how to do this. Do this, do this, do this. Get XY result. Thanks, Becky. I just wanted somebody other than myself to actually speak up about what they've seen so far. Anyway, so yeah, I'm hoping you guys like it. But back to the point, Stacia typed in something because we're doing this in a little chat room. She asked, what if it's about someone you know very well? I still don't like general readings. I will do them if I have to. I won't shy away from them. I'll never back down from any challenge at reading. But I will go in very openly, very honestly, and say, maybe it's my Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars in crappy corn, but I like things that are structured and ordered so I can launch off that. I just need a little bit of a framework so I can say, okay, what are the parameters we're looking for? And then I can let my intuition run wild. I'm not so much on the concept of what we call intuitive readers, which is really code for I don't have any rules. I just say whatever comes to mind. Divination is intuitive. If you are a reader, you are an intuitive reader. If you are not an intuitive reader, if everything is formulaic or you need the Kabbalah or astrology or numerology or some kind of ology to tell you what the cards mean, then any computer could give a better reading than you because, you know, computers never make mistakes. They just follow logical process. Whatever input we put in, the computer puts out. You know, it's all in the programming. But computers are smarter and more accurate and a hell of a lot faster than us. So if that were the case, computers could put us out of a job. But I've never seen a computer that can give a better reading than a professional. So intuition is an absolute must. But my argument, and people are, again, this is my humble opinion, people are welcome to disagree, but my humble opinion says intuition is just a given. Of course, you're going to have to be using your intuition, but we need a kind of framework. You know, we need to have a base point. You know, tell me anything about anything. Well, okay, I will tell you about something that happened last week in Zimbabwe. I've never been to Zimbabwe. I don't know. I don't have any friends in Zimbabwe at the moment. I couldn't tell you if what I told you happened did or not. I don't have any frame of reference. I can't prove that it happened. Now, if I get a vision of that, that's a different story. I'm like, okay, I'm getting a clear-cut vision. This is going on, blah, 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 blah. But if we're just talking about just tell me anything about anything, you know, half a mile under the sea, there's a fish swimming around. Well, technically I'm right, but how does that help my client? Our clients come in and they want to know what they want to know, even if they don't want to tell us. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't come to us. Otherwise they wouldn't give us money and they certainly won't give us tips. So I prefer to focus on things that people want. And I found that the people who kind of know what they want, some people are very exact, specific. Some people are just kind of like, well, I need to know I'm not happy with my life. I want to know if I should get maybe a new job or something. We can help those people find their way through the maze, but they still kind of know what they want. They still have a general umph, they have a general direction. So we can latch on to that and ask the gods to give us solid, clear information that they can relate to their daily life, that they can say, oh, this makes sense, and they can take action on it. There's nothing worse than giving a reading, somebody walks away, and 2 to 3 weeks later, they don't know, they can't apply that information to their lives. It's like, yeah, it was nice, but I just wasted 40, 50, 100, 200 bucks. I consider that an affront. So it all comes down to focus. When you have focus or a focal point, you can guide your intuition to shut out any extraneous information. And you're directing your intuition specifically toward the thing you need to know. This is all preparatory work for reading the distant past, doing archaeological things, predicting elections. So I'm not just ranting, I'm building a skill that you can use in the future, and it's absolutely mandatory for medical or police investigations. I will never give out medical advice, you know, not being a licensed doctor and all that. So, but those of you who are and want to include this in your abilities, well, then, you know, obviously you have the legal right to do so. You don't have to tell anybody, but when you get amazing answers or you discover ways to find pathogens that are in the body that you can thus get rid of or cure cancer, well, then, you know, you just take the credit for doing it. Oh, by the way, real quick, I know this sounds a little scatological, but this is a new format for the Tarot Podcast. We are incorporating the weekly lesson or weekly topic into the blog and the podcast and the email newsletter lessons. We also have a weekly video. I'm going to give explicit how to focus and how to develop your focus and how to focus with the cards. That's all going out in today's Easy Tarot Lessons newsletter. It'll be a written lesson on all this stuff that I'm talking about, step by step. Do this, get that. Do this, get that. If you haven't signed up, please go to easytarotlessons.com. At the top left of the page, big thing, it just says, you know, sign up for a free, no cost, no strings, newsletters. You know, what's the catch? Well, the catch is you're going to get emails from me. It'll say, hey, here's your lessons, and I will let you know when I'm having a course coming up, which you can sign up for or ignore. It's okay. But you're not going to get advertisements of, hey, you know, buy this soap. It's good, you know. So step-by-step instructions are going to be given in the print newsletter, which you can keep. In that newsletter, you'll also have a link to this podcast. You'll have the video of the week. Every week, I'm going to want you guys to have a video that has you do a game or an exercise. As far as I'm concerned, this is school. You're here to learn. And I want you to develop your skills, especially if I'm doing all this for free. And then on the blog, I'm going to, and there will be a link in the newsletter and blog. So the point is, you sign up for the newsletter. It's free. You get all that stuff in the same right there. So I have the blog, the video, the podcast, and the lesson. And then if I have any guest interviews or any secret, wonderful, happy updates, you'll get that there. Again, easy tarot lessons. Stop the podcast right now if you would. If you haven't signed up, just take a moment. Just go, easytarotlessons.com. Click on the top. It'll take you to a page that says blah, blah, blah. Go in your name and address and email address. Done. The videos may or may not relate to the lesson because I've got a ton of videos and we're doing a new series of 100 more videos. Those are all free. And they will be coming out just as soon as I start filming them. So they may or may not relate to the weekly topic, but they will all be highly instructional. So, focus. Focus is about defining or cutting away superfluous information. And I'll give you this much here on the podcast because we're running a little long on this. We focus psychically by focusing mentally. That, you know, it's not something you can't figure out for yourself. The process of focusing psychically is just a simple thing, and we focus every day. It's like, I stop yelling at me. I got to focus on this. See how easy it was, you know? So we focus mentally, but then we relax and allow our awareness to open up beyond our five senses. It's almost like the back of our head is just opening up, like, ooh. But going back to the radio analogy, we're not stretching our senses out to everything. We're stretching out our senses on this object. So we're really splitting our mind. Our eyes, nose, ears, they're all giving us information about this thing that's right in front of us. But it's like a tarot card. You have a tarot card in front of you. Let's say the Ace of Coins. If you have the Ace of Coins, and I'm saying, look at the coin, and if it's a Pamela Coleman Smith, I can complain about the fact that there's a pentagram in there, which makes the whole thing a pentacle, and how the pentacle or pentagram has nothing to do with coins. It was something that Mathers came up with and got weight to do, and it's just caused all kinds of confusion. Well, we can say the giant coin. And what are the implications of a giant coin showing up in your life? Well, you know, where are you going to put it? I mean, here, God just comes out of the sky and says, here's a giant coin. You're like, yay, giant coin is gold. I'm rich. I'm a multimillionaire. I've got more gold than Fort Knox. And he's just going to drop it on the ground. Now what? Well, quick, before somebody else comes along and sees his giant coin and tries to take it from you, you got to cover up with dirt. And I'm like, It's not a whole bunch of little coins. It's a giant big coin. How do I break it apart? I want you to do this with the images, by the way, and understand the complexity of the problem of a giant coin, because that helps you understand how the Ace of Coins may not always be the most wonderful blessing in the world. If you get a large lump sum of money, well, there's the tax man. He's going to want some. And then you're going to have a million friends and relatives. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, Diane, Stacia, Becky, the next one of you to hit the lottery, you are going to find out that you're related to me, and I'm going to move into your house. These are things that happen to people all the time. It's like people win the lottery, and they got to go, oh, I got to change my name. I got to go away. Because the other people are just like, hey, you got all that money. Can you need just a little bit for me? But then, you know, you're surrounded by all these people. Hands out. So I want you to be able to play around with each card philosophically. So as you're looking at that card, and I'm giving you all these ideas, and I'm saying, well, also, let's look at the fact that it's a nice garden and there's an arch in the back with the, it's like, wow, we have a Garden of Eden. It's like nice and pretty, but oh, out there it's scary. So it's a sheltered environment. I'm the voice that's guiding you to information about that card. I'm no different in this analogy than you looking at the flower or a tarot card, and you're allowing the gods or the fairies or God, if you want to do the whole monotheistic thing, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. I don't get hung up in the terminology. But all you're doing is you're allowing your awareness to open up, let's say behind you. That's just an easy way to think because our eyes in front of us being predatory creatures. So it's easy for us to imagine, and I like things that are easy, that the back of our head just opens up. That's what we're getting all of this information from. But it's all related to what we're focusing on. We're allowing just enough of our conscious awareness to let logic kind of figure out the information we're getting and apply it to it and compare. But we're not here in an analytical mode. It's kind of like daydreaming but focused. So there's a little bit of an example of how you might try to, you know, practice this. Diane, you heard everything I said. Do you have any questions on that?
No, it was for me. It's like you said. You when you're doing a reading, you have to be like conscious, of course. Like you know, like the logic mind has to be there, but at the same time, the intuition. So how do you marry both of them together in a reading?
Right, right. The problem is we are so reliant on what we see, touch, taste, all those five senses that I would screw up. But the problem is we're pretty smart, you know, and we're pretty damn narcissistic as a race. I mean, all life on Earth is generally narcissistic, otherwise it would go extinct. You know, I'm pretty smart. I've been around for years, and I kind of know what's going on. And now I'm in a tarot reading, and none of that means poo. I have to go, okay, I'm stretching my senses. I'm asking for information from some invisible thing. Really? No, I got an IQ of 145. I was kind of hoping it'd go up a little bit. And, you know, well, that's not a good day. On a bad day, I'm sure it's probably in the 70s. Thing is that my ego says no, you know. So it goes against our natural instinct to say, oh, you know, Mongo only pawn in a game of life. Just give me information. So we do have to keep our logical conscious mind, our yappy mind. We need to keep that front and center, but we need to really quiet it and allow this greater awareness to feed us information without us tripping over ourselves, without us getting in the way or going, well, how did I know that? Well, how do I know that I'm not getting bad information from some, you know, we make up some bad guy or boogeyman. Now, how do you do this? It all comes with practice. The exercises I give you in the podcast, in the books, in the Easy Tarot Lessons newsletter, all those lessons, these all help. But really, it comes down to practice. But thank you. Yeah, because it really is. You got to keep both of these focused. Stacia, any thoughts on this? Stacia's quiet. That's okay. She'll come back. Becky, how about you?
Well, other than wishing, I'd thought to do a focus exercise when I was in the cave today, because I'd love to know what it heard like. I've been thinking while you've been talking, actually, about using the focus exercise in a reading. And I think when you've got that total immersion in the reading, so you really have tuned everything else out and tuned the chatter out, I'm sort of itching to try this now, because I think it's going to kind of, it's almost opening up a sixth sense. And I don't necessarily mean that in the sixth sense way. I mean, as in a sense we're not using, like using the back of your head, if that makes sense. So I'm really,
no,
really
absolutely
intrigued to try this now to sort of see how different it feels.
Excellent.
It feels like a fully immersed experience, the way you've been describing it.
I like the word, the phrase total immersion. I probably should have used that earlier, but I, you know, again, it's one of those IQ of 70 days. It's like barely making it through. But, yeah, no, that was a very good way to put it. And thank you. Just as long as you guys remember, please, if you're listening, please remember the magic is in you. It is not in the cards. Cards are pretty. Yay! Well, some decks are prettier than others. But the cards are nothing more than a tool, you know, to help you focus. We could use dice. Matter of fact, they have used dice. Dice, lots, I Ching. Oh, hell, I don't want to go through all the different things. If you started going down that way, I was like, boy, we'd be here for a long time if I talked about all the different things people have used for divination. But tarot cards are easy, and they're fun, and they, I won't say they're sanctioned by the church, but if you look throughout history, the greatest of the ancient tarot experts, the one that we all listen to, wait, super Catholic, Levi, deacon, reverend, priest, and I just ran out of names. Not so much Crowley, although he was the son of a priest. Very, you know, very powerful and rich preacher, by the way. He's kind of rebelling against daddy. But, yeah, the major scholars had a very close connection to the church. They were literally Christian scholars. So I won't say it's sanctioned by the church, but pretty popular with those guys. All right, look, I'm going to wrap up today's lessons. Look, do me a favor. I know I said this before, but go to easytarotlessons.com. Spelled just like it sounds, easytarotlessons.com. Sign up for the free newsletter, because we've got a new format where I'm going to take everything I said and I'm going to consolidate it down into do this, get that result formula. And then I'll have a link to the podcast and the video and the blog, so that if you are serious about mastering the tarot, I will do everything I can for free. I will hope that you'll pick up a copy of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. It's $22, or $1 per major arcana, $1 per trump. The ATS book will probably be the same price. I'm available for private lessons, but not very often. If you have any questions, complaints, anything, just email me, me at dustywhite.net. Other than that, I'm hoping that you'll subscribe to this this podcast on iTunes. Just go to iTunes. Or actually, just go to easytarotlessons.podomatic.com, where you probably got this from. Scroll down a bit, and it says a button that says subscribe on iTunes. Click that. And everything's free. I don't want you to miss a lesson. I don't want you to miss any of this free information, because a lot of it doesn't get repeated. And if you've missed the newsletter, I don't send them back out. So you got to collect these for your own private information. And then if you missed anything, it's always in the books. All right. Stacia's being quiet today. That's fine. Diane, do you have any questions? Is there anything I can help you with before we bail out of here?
No, you were very clear with everything you taught us today. Thank you.
You're too kind. Well, there's still no excuse for to practice the exercise. So remember, it's all about, at this point, it's all about focus. Let me see. Next week, what do we do next week? Oh, next week we're going to talk about how to stand out in an overcrowded field of fortune tellers. God, it seems that everybody and their dog nowadays is reading the cards. You go on Fiverr.com, you get a reading for $5. You go in Facebook, people give free readings, or are asking for free readings. Go on Keen, readings. The $5 specials in person. There's the phone lines. We'll talk about that in a later series, a couple podcasts down the road, on how to get those jobs and what they're like but things that, there's a whole lot of people all over the world giving readings. I want you guys to stand out. If you're going to read for somebody else, I want you to be so boffo amazing that people flock to you. That's why you're here. Not everybody listens to this podcast. Matter of fact, you got about 33,000 people right now, which is nice. But that's spread out all over the world. So chances are nobody in your area knows as much about the tarot with what you're learning as you do, as long as you're consistently applying this. So thanks for hanging out. I know this seems like it's been a little bit long, but jump online, get the free lessons, and study and never, ever, ever stop practicing. And if you have any questions, like I said, just email me. Becky Stasham, Diane, thank you so much for being here. I will see you guys tomorrow afternoon for a private study group. And have your lessons, have your questions ready, because we're going to go deep into manifestation. All right. Thanks for being here, guys. Have a great day.